Heavenly Father, I know I can do nothing. I pray you lift yourself up before us, that Jesus would get the honor and the glory. We need you. We're so weak and helpless and frail and fragile and dumb. Stupid. God, help us, Lord. Help us. Help us look at your word, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Sister Janie said I wouldn't let her answer questions last week. So it's going to make it easy on you, Sister Janie. I'm going to give you the title and you're going to tell me where it's at. The Church in the Wilderness. Where, that phrase is only in the Bible one time. Where is it? That's exactly right. Acts 7:38. There's suckers in my office on the way out. You get you a handful of them.
Okay.
This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received lively oracles to give unto us. That was a hard question. That was a hard question. I don't know if I would have got that. That's a hard question. Okay, now we got the church in the wilderness. How many years did the church in the wilderness last? 40 is right. And we're making comparisons and contrasts. How many years has our church lasted? The New Testament church. 2026 is right. Theirs started at the Passover and went from Exodus 12 through Leviticus, Numbers, and that was 39 years and 11 months, and the book of Deuteronomy was 1 month, made it 40 years. And ours started at the cross. On the cross, the church was born out of his side, just like Eve came out of Adam's side. Jesus' bride came out of his side and has lasted this long. So the first big point is, Through the blood is right, Sister Lee. That's right. And the self-same night that the firstborn lived, everybody that was alive moved out and started to the promised land, started on their pilgrimage to a holy place, their journey to a holy place, the promised land. And so the second big point is through the flood is right. Through the Red Sea, they got delivered. They all crossed. All of Israel crossed as a body, and our church is a body worldwide. This is the congregation of it. And so the third big point, he got it last week. I wanted someone new anyway. It's working out great. He's going to be here. He's probably on security. What's the third big point? We came through the blood, through the flood, to the
table
is right, Sister Jane. Oh, y'all doing great. And why? Because Exodus 5:1 says, "Let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." That was the purpose. That was the purpose. That's why you're here tonight. You came to feast with him. And it's going to come right out of here if you do any feasting. It won't come out of here. It won't come out of here. And we've just been looking at comparisons and contrasts, differences and likes between the church in the wilderness and our church today, the New Testament church. Fun facts to know and tell. God did put a difference. After they got delivered, God put a difference. The rock followed Israel around in the all through the wilderness, but it didn't follow the Egyptians. The rock of Christ did not follow the Egyptians. And the children had light to dwell in their homes, and the Egyptians had thick darkness for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their homes. Okay, that's a review. The land, see, the Israel's earthly people, and the land is promised to them. The land is not to be sold. There's no spot on earth like it. Jehovah promised it to his wife, Israel. The dust, the very dust is precious. But that's not for us. We're going to heaven. We've got it made. We're in like Flint. we're in the family. And Jared was telling us the other night, we can't get kicked out. Under Jehovah, everything was happy. No taxes, no utilities, no rent. We're going to heaven even better than that. It's impossible to overemphasize the Word of God and the Son of God. You cannot do it. If you overemphasize the Father, there's a ditch over there on that side of the road, and you'll end up in fatalism or Calvinism or something like that. There's a ditch on that side of the road. If you overemphasize the Spirit, you'll be over there a charismaniac. But right down the middle, I'm not talking about compromising. I'm talking about right down the middle. It's impossible to overemphasize Jesus and the Bible, Jesus and the Bible, Jesus and the Bible. It's a great privilege to have your own personal copy. It's good for the high, and it's good for the low. It's good for the old, it's good for the young, it's good for the learned and for the ignorant like me. It's good for everybody. I need to delight in it. I need to delight in His hand. I need to delight in His Word, in His power. I need to delight in His presence. And I need to delight in His provisions like Brother Garth does. If I live by the fountain and don't worry about man-made streams, they are nothing. They'll dry up. No need to complain about them, but they can't help me. You'll starve plumb to death in the world. They have nothing. They have nothing. You'll thirst to death. Every man did right in his own eyes, and when they did that, they departed from this. And they followed their own imaginations. Imagination's what gets us in trouble. Imagination. That's what Brother Rick was telling us about. See, I imagine Rick don't love me, and sometimes I imagine y'all don't love me. Sometimes I imagine the Lord don't love me. And that's wrong. That's all wrong. That's imaginations. I need to bask in the light while man's puny efforts deny the sun's shining. They don't even know. They don't know. Then he says in here, because you rebelled against my word. That's what Saul did. Saul rebelled. Adam rebelled against his word. Moses rebelled against his word. Reasoning. The Lord already told us how it is. When I try to reason it out, it's going to be fatal. If I try, well, I know what the Bible says, but that's a mistake right there. That's a big mistake. The church has left the high moral ground to mingle with a world that hates Jesus. I need to delight in this and know for a scientific fact that this is every word inspired and true. I need to rely on that for a healthy new life. It's our delight, it's our pleasure, it's our duty to rely on the Scriptures. It makes Him happy when I trust Him. It makes Him happy when I rely on Him. When I call on Him and say, Lord, I can't do it, I need You to do it. And that's what they would do in the wilderness. And the purpose for Israel was to show all those countries all around them that there was a God. Israel was supposed to show it. He was holy, so they were supposed to be holy so everyone could see it. My neighbors are wanting to see someone that's holy. I need to live holy in front of them. It's the same thing now. It's a comparison. It's not a contrast. And the world has little g gods innumerable. You can't even count them. And so did Egypt. Man and his religions have failed. Well, not only did the church in the wilderness fail, but the New Testament church has failed. But your household hadn't. You need to maintain your home. And this house might not have failed yet. We don't have to fail. We can stick with this. We can go. We're going to have to go with Him, though, to do it. It's not God's object to Christianize the world, but He wants a called out people, just like we saw that church exit Egypt to go to the promised land. That's what he's interested in. I know we have to go to work. We're engaged in affairs of this life, but there's a warning in there not to be entangled with the world, not to get entangled. And I have to go to work, but I need to use my riches to serve. There was cities of refuge. I'm thinking a dozen of them. Six on one side of the river and six on the other. That might not be right. But there was more than one city of refuge. So if you killed a person by accident, if you're chopping wood and that head fell off the axe and killed Brother Teddy, and I'm innocent, I didn't plan it, I didn't aim to, I can run to the city of refuge. But the slayer did not stop on the way. He went to the city of refuge. Someone that comes down the aisle popping their bubble gum and giggling, they're not ready to get saved. They need to figure out that they're the chief of sinners. I came when I figured out I was the worst sinner on earth. And I needed saved then. I didn't need saved later. I wasn't piddling around going to the city of refuge. I got on over there. My own will and way is another name for sin. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:12. There's several of these warnings. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. That's in there several times. Then sometimes it says remember. And I know why it's in there. Yesterday I had my lawnmower cans in the back of the truck. I got three or four cans. And when I got out to fill them up, I took a cap off the pickup, laid it over there. I said, I'll fill up all these cans. I'll just shoot it in the pickup while I'm here. Well, I filled them all up. Put them in the truck, hung a pump up. And I started to get in the truck. I said, oh yeah, I meant to fill that one up too. That's probably just for me. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. I know you all don't do that, but the church in the wilderness did, and Brother Rick does. I forget him. And sometimes I need to remember. Let's just... Let's go on down there and look at that. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8. Some background on the chapter here. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 says, remember. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He's forever telling. Now, I hope when we get through with all this, you might go read the book of Deuteronomy again. He's forever telling them, I brought you through the will. I delivered you. Where I ought to be is, I know I ought to be in hell, but before I get there, what I really ought to be doing tomorrow is picking straw and making bricks. That's my place. That's where he brought me from. That's where I was when he found me. I need not to forget that. See, there's a danger in being saved 50 years that that pew there is mine. And I deserve to be... Well, that's a lie. I deserve nothing. Tomorrow I ought to get up and pick straw and make bricks. That's my place. That's where he found me. And he's telling them forever that remember. See, I need to think about the cross and what it cost for me to get in. 40 years. Then verse 3, down toward the end, that he might make thee know that, oh, this is a famous chapter right here. This is our famous verse right here. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And there's not one word too many. There's not one word short. This thing's perfect. It's an every word Bible. I need to remember that. And I need to remember that where he brought me from. Verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now that's the church in the wilderness. That's not exactly us. But we'll see here in a minute. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Can we say that maybe about America Are we in a good land? A land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. I live in a house I didn't build. I eat food the Lord give me strength to buy. Look at verse 9. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Can I get an amen right there? Anybody hungry? If you didn't eat, it's because you didn't want to. We live in a land that you can eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything. Could I get a witness right there? I don't need anything. There's nothing that I need. Nothing. Nothing. Verse 11, now here's where I really want to start. Look how it starts off here. It says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Just like it was up there a while ago. Just like filling up the gas cans. My tendency is to forget. My tendency is to think I did it. That I did it. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. How am I going to do it? In not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. That's three times. And here he's going to tell us which God. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. From the house of bondage. See, I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to self. If I don't watch, I'll still be a slave to self. We'll have self till we die. Verse 15, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, the hardest, not just a regular old rock, the hardest rock, I reckon. I guess flint would be the hardest rock possible. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. They got the Krispy Kremes in the wilderness. Huh? They got the Dunkin' Donut in the wilderness. I didn't know that. I forgot about that part. They're in the wilderness where there's nothing. And they're eating manna every morning. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee. There it is, Brother Dennis. To do thee good at the latter end. Not just now, but in the end too. In the latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. No, 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 no. I did not deliver myself. He didn't let me live. He put the blood on the door and He delivered me. He brought me through the flood. He brought me through the blood and through the flood. I did nothing. I did nothing. He did it all. I deserve nothing. I don't deserve to sit there where you're at, Brother Greg. I don't deserve it. I ought to be in hell. I ought to be making bricks. But thou shalt remember. Here it is again. Remember. Remember, Brother Rick. But thou shalt remember what? The Lord thy God. For it is He that give thee power. Brother John prayed for power. We're reading the verses because that's where the power is at. For it's He that hath given thee power to get wealth, and that He may establish His covenant. See, He came up with this. I didn't write this. I didn't dream it up. I didn't say, oh, I'll be all right. No, it's not the labor gets this and management gets this and we're working. No, He come up with this. This is His covenant. It's all His idea. That He may establish His covenant, which He swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. It shall be if thou do it all. Forget. Forget the Lord thy God and walk after other little g-gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. I better not be forgetting. I think I'm just going to go ahead and remember. I believe I'll just start remembering, Brother Austin. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before, I'm going to perish like this, before your face, so shall ye perish because ye would not be obedient unto the voice. Oh boy, the voice, not just any old voice, the voice of the Lord your God. Chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thou, than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, children of the Anakims, who thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? In the beginning of Deuteronomy, he says, I'm going to put a fear in their hearts so they'll run from you. Verse 3, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Speak not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought. See, sometimes I get to thinking I belong in church. This is where but see, it's not only I haven't always had a good haircut. I haven't always had a haircut. I haven't always smelled good. I haven't always been clean. I haven't always done what I ought to do. At one time, I could have moved in a cigar box. I had nothing. I had nothing. Now I've got everything. For my righteousness, the Lord, capital Lord, big Lord, hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of those nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or not for thy brightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord swear unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, Brother Rick, understand this. It's not you, it's me. Therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. That's not how you got here. That's not how you was born in America. It's because of me. For thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. I'm going to skip a little bit of it. 8 through 11 here, he talks about getting the Ten Commandments, and then they rebelled anyway. And then 12, and the Lord said to me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of the land, out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Now, I had to look that up. I've read it for years, and I didn't know what molten meant. Graven. I looked up graven too. Graven is like you whittled it out. But molten, I about didn't find it in the dictionary. I read over it 3 times. I kept going through my alphabet. I thought I was in the wrong place. But it's not like the word keep. It's got 39 definitions and stuff like that we've looked up in here before. The word molten only has one word definition. It means melted. It was melted down and put in a mold, molten. I got to looking this up. You know, this is, it says 40% silicone. I guess it comes out of Silicon Valley, and plastic. And to make this, they melt it down and put it in a mold. And then aluminum case is 35%. To get it in that shape, they melt it down and put it in a mold. And then there's some glass in there, 25%. And to get it in the right shape and everything, they melt it down. It's melted down. And there's a little bit of gold and copper and what they call rare earth metals. Now, Brother Carl uses this thing as a tool. He does. He transfers millions of dollars on that every day. Millions and and millions and millions. You might not believe it, but Brother Shane, being a logger, he uses that a lot. It's a tool. It's a tool. And over there in my garage, I got a 9/16 and a half inch. And you know what? They melted them down to make it. Nothing wrong with tools. Nothing wrong with that. And those 9/16, they're probably Sears. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with them as a tool. But when I'm through using as a tool, I leave them there. I don't bow down to them, worship or nothing. And Carl and Shane, they don't bow down to him, worship me. It's a real good tool, but it's a terrible God. It's a terrible God. And that Chevrolet that the preacher's waiting on the tow truck over, they make a good vehicle, but it's a terrible God. Chevrolet's a terrible God. Remington, they make a great gun, but it's a terrible God. Guns are melted. They're melted down. Chevrolets are melted down. But good vehicle, good tools, but a terrible God. Terrible God. Remember, our true condition was bondmen in Egypt. Intellectuals introduce heresies. A heresy is a lie or a false doctrine. Intellectuals introduce heresies. Intellectuals introduce lies. I'm talking about like evolution and versions. That's what I'm talking about. I need to dwell on the history of His deliverance to develop praise and thanks. If I want to be thankful, if I want to praise Him, I need to be thinking about all the times He delivered. He didn't just deliver me once. I didn't just come through the Red Sea one time. The Red Sea one time. But He didn't just deliver me or help me once. He helped me today. He delivered me. He's forever delivering me from myself. I'm my own worst enemy. When we start out, we know little of how wicked we are. Sister Trista sings the song, "When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him." When we first start out, we don't realize. See, before I got saved, I didn't realize how bad I was. But soon, I discovered how worthless and how I need to cling to Him or I'm not going to make it. I can't. Not only could I not save myself, I can't keep myself saved. I'm dependent on Him to keep me saved just like I trusted Him to save me. It's mercy that He takes us up at all. It's mercy He gives us the time of day. We allow mountains and prosperities to come between us and God. And then He sends a little trial along designed to draw me back to Him. That's how He does it. All Israel met in one place. One altar. They all gathered around the table to worship Him. We said it earlier, maybe a couple weeks ago, the reason for the journey. Anyone remember? The Lord's there. The Lord's there. I just made up my mind a long time ago when I figured out I was going to heaven. I'm going to enjoy the trip. I'm going anyway. Now I can have a long face and murmur all the way home. But I just made up my mind. The Lord's on the journey. He's along the way. He was every step of the way through the wilderness. Pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. My happiness is less than secondary. The reason for the journey is the Lord's there. My happiness is less than secondary. Dear Heavenly Father, You're so great. Thank You for the wilderness. Thank You You're with us each step of the way. We love You and praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.